from education to employment and everything in between.
It's a clearinghouse for all things shale.
This is the Shale Gas News with Bill DeRozier, Rusty Fender, and Matt Henderson.
Good morning and welcome to the Shale Gas News. I'm Bill DeRozier. Joining me via Skype, Matt Henderson, broadcasting from our Williamsport Bureau. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, Mr. Bill. Like you mentioned, down in Williamsport, it's a new week, a new year, new administration. It's going to be an exciting 2021. What do you think?
Well, it's certainly a different 2021. Joe Biden is now the President of the United States. Donald Trump served out his last couple of days. The inauguration was the 20th, I believe. Peaceful transition. And it seems that Biden's got to work right away. I think his first order of business was canceling the Keystone XL pipeline, which I still, that one's just kind of dumbfounding to me. And before we get into it, I'd be remiss if we didn't acknowledge the CEO, the chief editing officer of the program, DC Taylor, of course, keeping us on the air.
Thanks, guys. Good morning. And I you know, not to laugh, I can't imagine what it must be like to hear that, you know, the president's basically coming for your job on day one of his administration. Would you guys like to get into that a little bit?
Yeah, let's dive into it. So the first thing that's just dumbfounding about this was the Keystone XL pipeline's fight started under the Obama administration.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they did everything they could to stop it. It's a weird situation because the pipeline's crossing international lines. It falls to the federal government and the Secretary of State, I believe, and at the time it was John Kerry, to whether or not to issue certain permits to allow for certain parts of the construction of the project. Anyways, the project stalled under Obama's administration. Under Trump, he issued an executive order day one to move it forward. And then I think over the next 4 years, somehow or another, court cases kept happening. And I just don't understand if the president's vested with the power to do something and then courts can challenge him literally every week for 4 years, how they can get something done. And then meanwhile, Joe Biden, first day in the office, another 4 years later, can issue an executive order and kill the project. First off, why is this still being talked about almost 12 years later? And then secondly, you know, that's just a kind of an insult to the whole idea that Joe's a blue collar guy supporting union guys when that's who exactly would build this project. And quite honestly, the project itself is something that the country needs. It has a lot more to do with Canada. Even Canada is behind it, and Canada isn't always in agreement with how our energy industry works, but they want to support this thing. And then just the local investment that would come to the area that it would be built through. Matt, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, and I've had, as mentioned, I talked to a lot of my brethren about this, I guess, we had 4 years under Trump, like you said, day one, basically, he said, go ahead. And you have to wonder how much whether it's illegal or the economics. I mean, we know what oil has done, you know, the last several years, and you wonder if it's an economic issue versus just the legal side. But as you mentioned, I mean, this battle has been going on for 12 plus years because, 10, 12 years. So, but to your point, I mean, you know, it's going to be interesting. I mean, we're days into the administration. Early executive orders do not seem to, like you said, line up with, I'm from, Scranton, Pennsylvania, coal country or coal area, blue collar jobs. As you mentioned, this was going to be thousands and thousands of jobs to build this project, to get it, to move the oil and to move it through. You just got to hope that, some of the projects or some of his, campaign promises are slow to happen. Because it can be scary. As you mentioned, DC said there, kind of coming after our jobs, our industry jobs, and who knows? It's somewhat scary because of the unknown. Maybe after 100 days, we'll get a feel for, what what his administration is going to be about. You know, I mean, it still need a lot of the confirmations through the Senate. You know, the policies are just starting out, you know, from, you know, looking at the immigrations, looking at, the Paris, going back in the Paris Climate Accords. I mean, we do understand his, his big policies, but how is he going to enact them would be interesting. If we look back, under Trump, there's no question, I believe the industry flourished, the economy flourished. Under Obama's administration, I don't think it was quite as bad, maybe, as, the doom and gloom that maybe we would have been talking about, 12 years ago. I think, he did obviously have some policies that were, negative or, potentially made a little bit harder for the oil and gas industry, but generally the free market, moved development forward. But we're also now in a completely different place, as we know. We're beyond, just say the exploration and, what may come. I think, you and I have talked numerous times, the last 10, 12 years is really about developing the resource, getting the resource to the ground, so we can move it from point A to point B. But, this decade, is going to truly be about utilization and using the resource, building that infrastructure out. We've talked and had some guests on about some plants here in Northeast PA, North Central PA that would utilize natural gas. As we know, there's a lot of others in the works to potentially, use natural gas or natural gas liquids. So, I guess come back and ask in 100 days and hopefully we have somewhat of an optimistic
let's
view.
Let's see where the 100 days go there. I think, again, the first few weeks are set on dismantling everything Trump did and essentially getting back to what the Obama administration was working on. But, yeah, the energy industry is going to be faced with somewhat of a paradigm shift. We still need the energy. Fossil fuels aren't going away anytime soon. But the question is going to become, can we make the fossil fuel development cleaner, greener? For example, this article from E&E News, 70% methane cut from oil and gas. Here's a blueprint. Oil and gas companies and governments worldwide must take steps to curb methane pollution in order to avoid post-pandemic emission surges and stave off the worst effects of climate change. The International Agency warned yesterday methane emissions from oil and gas sector worldwide declined by an estimated 10% last year as the coronavirus pandemic pummeled demand. But again, as that ends, there's going to be an increase in demand. People are going to need more energy, not less. So the reality is, what can we do to develop that? And you had just made mention of the idea that in Pennsylvania, there are a few projects looking at the Commonwealth as a place to build facilities to make downstream petrochemicals. Almost all of them are going to be built with new technology, or rather technology, but with newer equipment, newer standards, newer regulations. And again, I, for one, am in favor of that, because then they're going to be held to today's standards. They won't be grandfathered in. It won't be a plant that's been operational for 50 or 100 years. And they can invest in newer technologies. With hydrogen being all the rage right now, companies are in a position to, utilize that product that was otherwise a waste product that they'd get rid of some way or another. So again, we should invest in and or make it easier to attract investments to Pennsylvania or the United States to develop these products that we need. And we shouldn't just try to stop them or cut them off or keep them in the ground, as they like to say. But I'd be curious to see if Biden is more of a leader in that, or if he's the camp of no, keep it in the ground. Let's stifle this industry and force it to move over. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, I'd say on that point, it's great. It'd be interesting how he approaches this, because, the low prices have forced new technologies, better technologies. We all know the goal of the industry is zero emissions, not just from the economics, but the environmental. But it would be interesting, like you said, is it a keep in the ground push movement, or is it, let's invest in new technologies, improving technology so that we can, have a cleaner cleaner air, cleaner water out there, through agency, NETL. I mean, they've done some fantastic work out there, in developing these technologies. But, the open, the free market, entrepreneur did a fantastic job in the last couple down cycles we've had in the industry. But, this administration could be in a place to say, we're going to help improve what's out there. We're going to be moving towards a zero emissions, economy or, country. But recognizing the fact that, it's going to take a little bit for us to get there. We're not there that we can turn off, all the natural gas power plants and rely on solar or wind at this point. So, yeah, I think, like I said, these next 100 days will be extremely telling, and hopefully it's a partnership. And I know that's how we have to look at it. And I know the trade groups are looking at it that way, is, how can we figure out ways to work together?
Exactly. Another thing that's going to be talked about over the next 100 days and 4 years is going to be this idea of like carbon cap and trade policy or market-based policies to attack greenhouse gas emissions. So E&E's news also reports that the chamber, the U.S. chamber, shifts on its climate and now is backing market policy demand. I'm sure that has a lot to do with the new administration and the new Congress. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce said yesterday that it now supports a market-based approach to reducing greenhouse gas emissions, a major rhetorical shift for an organization that is once a leading enemy of climate change legislation, because, again, it's going to impact business owners and consumers. Because at the end of the day, when this stuff gets passed, it doesn't hit the oil and gas companies, it doesn't hit the power companies, it doesn't hit the pipeline companies, it hits the consumers as the cost goes up. Somebody has to pay for it. The consumers pay for it. And in a statement updating its official views on climate change, the nation's largest business lobby says Congress should enact enduring climate policy that encourages innovation and investment to ensure significant emission reductions while avoiding economic harm for business, consumers, and disadvantaged communities. I'm sure there's a way to do it. I don't think it's very obvious how you can achieve the second part without the first part. Somebody's got to pay. And that's our position on this show has always been, is carbon cap and trade the way to actually cleaning up the environment, or is it a way to create another tax without raising taxes so that money can be spent? Because that'd be my other big question, is if you get carbon cap and trade, where does the tax or the money generated from that policy go? And again, my fear is it going to go in infrastructure where we'd like to see it, where we can kind of create a synergy with other things going on? Or does it go into pots of money or pools of money that have nothing to do with, say, cleaning up the environment and doesn't really move the needle forward? Matt, what are your thoughts on market-based policies and or the U.S. Chamber shifting its rhetoric?
Yeah, well, to your point, I mean, they know with the new administration, they've got to say play nice, because if they want a seat at the table and they represent, like you said, the business community, it's somewhat a little maybe upsetting to some degree. But again, I understand there. But I agree with your point. At the end of the day, the consumers are the ones you're going to pay for it, especially where we're at right now. We know the pandemic has hit unproportionately probably the lower middle income lower of the middle income and lower income harder in terms of, their finances. We're not at a point, I think, we need to pass along, cost increase for energy. And people don't need to be making a decision between, buying the groceries or turning the heat on and, having that warmth there. So, again, hopefully it's a move on their behalf to help have a good voice at the table, to, look out for ways that we can all work together and, see where this money goes, that's hopefully a positive in development of the infrastructure.
Couldn't agree with you more there, Matt. Well, Rusty Fender's joining us now, and I know Mike Atchie, our guest in the second segment, is calling in. I can see the red light blinking on the old phone system there. So why don't we jump to Fender's Fast Facts before we take a break and get to Mike Atchie. Rusty, what do you have for us?
And thanks, Bill. And let's go back to 1984, today's fun facts. And DC, this is another technical fun fact. 1984, the year, this coming weekend, on the 24th of January, that the Apple Macintosh was released to the public.
Ah.
I remember I was working in New York at that time. That was the biggest technological achievement, I think, since the invention of radio. That was the Macintosh.
Right.
It was truly incredible. Had the docking port. You know, you plug it into the wall. We had them at CBS. This whole big assembly on the workbenches and engineering. You had to plug. You had to shove the whole unit in and all that. Big deal.
Yep.
The extremely expensive Apple Lisa. This is what it replaced. And Lisa was Steve Jobs from Microsoft and Apple's daughter, Lisa's name.
Yep.
So $10,000 it cost, 1984. It had the OS X platform and dual built-in floppy disk drives. I remember buying those at like Staples back on the floppy disk. Ridley Scott directed the 1984 Apple Macintosh commercial right after he did Alien, the movie Alien, and Blade Runner in 82. They chose him for a revolutionary TV ad.
Mm-hmm.
Every original Mac was autographed on the inside, unbeknown to people who bought it. That's pretty unbelievable.
Oh, wow. All right.
Inside the beige enclosure on the left-hand side of the keyboard of every 128K Macintosh, in the first year they were produced, they were engraved by Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak.
Wow.
I know people just chucked them in the garbage and now they're worth a lot of money for having those. Yeah, incredible. 128 kilobit wasn't enough for anybody. Steve Jobs wanted the first 16-bit 68,000 based Mac to have just 28K of RAM, which was even stingy in 1984.
Uh-huh. Okay.
This is amazing. The Mac could not run more than one program until 1987, even though it was Windows based, you could only have one platform running at the time.
Oh, wow.
I do not remember that.
Okay.
And of course, every software update was called XT after that, the Microsoft and Apple XT. And it went as far as 1988, actually, the updates. What did the XT stand for, D?
XT, wow.
I never knew this. There's still XT that's available now in a lot of Windows platforms, XT.
XT.
Professional XT. What did the XT stand for?
Wow. I couldn't even.
I know.
Does it have to do with the processor speed or something?
You're close. I never would have known this. XT actually stands for nothing, but it is the last. They are the last two letters in the word next, which means the next update to come. NEXT. The XT Windows platform for Apple is what the XT stood for.
Okay.
So all those years ago, what's that, 84? Uh-huh. Incredible. 1984, the first Macintosh, the Apple Mac, came out this very coming weekend.
Thank you for that, Rusty. And coming up next, we're talking to longtime friend of the show, Mike Atchey. It's the Shale Gas News with Bill DeRozier, Rusty Fender, and Matt Henderson. And I'm DC Taylor. Please stay here for more.
Why are natural gas pipelines important?
The most efficient and effective way to safely move natural gas is through a pipeline system.
We're constantly monitoring our systems and making sure that we're operating in the most reliable and, most importantly to me, the safest manner possible.
This system, over its life, is 99.9997% safe.
Cabot Oil and Gas Corporation, producing abundant opportunities.
There's plenty of time to get your new roof installed before winter with Green Rhino Builders. Call 844-900-GREEN now to get your free estimate. They service all of Northeast PA. Green Rhino Builders can meet you in person, video chat, or even speak over the phone. They can even get you an estimate without stepping foot on your property. Call 844-900-GREEN now to get your free estimate. That's 844-900-GREEN now to get your free estimate. Green Rhino Builders can even finance finance your new roof for as low as $79 per month. Does your roof have damage that may have been caused by the weather? Green Rhino Builders is the first company in NEPA to work with all of the major insurance companies and can help you get your replacement roof for only the cost of your insurance deductible. Call 844-900-GREEN now to get someone from Green Rhino Builders out to your home to inspect your roof. Call Green Rhino Builders, 844-900-GREEN for your free estimate today. Online at greenrhinobuilder.com.
It's always a good time for Greenlee's Barbecue.
For all your meat eating needs.
Pulled pork, ribs, brisket, chicken thighs, grilled chicken planks, ribeye steaks, salmon burgers, and beef burgers, plus salads and side dishes delivered or for catering at your weddings, company parties, and other crazy soirees, you crazy kids. GreenleesBBQ.com. Greenlee's Barbecue, Route 6, Tunkhannock. Look for the school bus next to Keystone Truck Caps. Greenlee's Barbecue.
Yeah, the benefits are very good. The benefits are all day one here. The dental health, vision, everything is top notch. Everything is very good.
Drivers wanted.
The 401k plan, we have a 6% matching program. The medical, there's a health spending account, and you could use that for co-pays. You could use that for prescription drugs. You could use that for anything just to help along with deductibles. And then you could put in from your paycheck, it's tax exempt. You could put in so much bi-weekly, and then that helps out too because it is before taxes. So.
If you're looking for steady year-round work with a company that cares about you and your family, at GDS, you will drive locally and be home after every shift. Get all the details and advance your career with GDS, a division of Cabot Oil and Gas, where you'll drive the newest fleet on the road.
The steady schedule, the 4-2 schedule for a driver, a 4-2 schedule is great.
Gas Search Drilling Services. Get the phone number at gassearchdrilling.com.
Cabot Oil and Gas partners with the Weinberg Food Bank to battle food insecurity in Northeast PA.
It's the partnership of foundations and the companies like Cabot that really enable us to be successful.
Gene Brady, president of the Weinberg Food Bank.
We are very blessed. Those regions that have the presence of the gas industry in this area really enables us with things like Pill Glass with Hope, Hunter Share the Harvest, other donations that traditionally have been made to help food banks in their mission to end hunger in Pennsylvania.
Welcome back to the Shell Gas News. It's our pleasure to introduce Mike Atchie, Manager of Public Outreach over at Williams, good friend of the program, longtime sponsor and contributor to the program. Mike, how are you doing today?
I am well, thank you, and thanks for the opportunity to come back on the show. I know I've done it in the past, but it's been a little while, so I appreciate the time this morning to share updates about Williams.
Well, let's start first and foremost with how is Williams coping with the current COVID situation? Williams obviously is a necessity, an industry that's moving energy every single day, a company that's doing a fantastic job. Just give our listeners an update on what your company has done in this new, you know, reality that we live in to keep the energy flowing.
You know, Bill, you're absolutely right. You know, natural gas is essential, especially this time of year, heating homes and providing hot water. And we've done our part for sure to make sure that that essential resource is being delivered. You know, at the beginning of the pandemic, we put many operational controls in place just to make sure our employees were safe and also that we could continue to move natural gas to markets. And throughout the entire situation with the pandemic, we've been able to maximize our efficiencies and be able to continue to deliver natural gas without any interruptions, keeping our employees safe, and in some ways, you know, shifting to this type of reality that we're in right now. Hopefully, we're able to get back to normalcy at some point, but we've been able to respond, keep the gas flowing, get our operations to the stage where they need to be, and keep employees and communities safe. So, you know, I think we learned a lot. It's been a learning experience for everyone, but I think our operations have done a phenomenal job at keeping the gas moving.
And as we start the year off here mid-January, we can also reflect on the great work you guys did, not only in helping first responders and those in need during this time, but also the holiday season. You guys ran your annual toy drive, your holiday drive, helped out around the holidays. I know this because, of course, Cabot's just up the road from Williams. We partner on a lot of things, and we get to see it every day. But, you know, take a couple minutes here just to reflect on some of that work you and your employees have been doing.
Oh, sure. And as you know, and as many members of the industry are, we're the fabric of the communities where we live and work. And being part of that community means supporting the community in a variety of ways. And, you know, when the pandemic came out last year, Williams turned around and committed $1 million nationally for COVID response and executed multiple grants to first responders and food banks and other essential needs within communities that were experiencing things they have never experienced before. And I think that went a long way to helping communities where we live and work. And throughout the year, we continued that with our normal cadence of giving and support in areas. Again, first responders are a key component of our areas, the fabric of community. So we like to support them. We did many things with organizations that just help the general needs of communities. And overall, I think it was a challenging year, but it really allowed for us, your companies like us, to have that infrastructure for giving to be able to respond and meet those needs and just shift to help with COVID response. And then, as you pointed out, at year end, it was doing other things that we typically do to help bring normalcy to the situation by supporting community activities and initiatives. So despite this being a challenging year, I think we were able to do many good things in our communities to help.
Well, yeah, and we love sharing that kind of messaging here on the show, and we like to reflect on that. So many great partners, and it just reminds me, as people say, keep it in the ground, this industry is bad. Well, again, this industry stepped up when was needed and will continue to do so, not only helping to keep the lights on, keep us warm during the winter, but being there to help those in need. Mike, I understand you got a busy year, ambitious year coming up here in 2021. Williams is engaged in a lot of projects across the country, but there are a few here in Pennsylvania that you wanted to share. Please take us through them.
Sure, we certainly do. You know, right now, we're in the early stages of construction on our Leidy South expansion project, which continues to move natural gas produced from northern Pennsylvania into growing markets. So that's an expansion of our Transco system. You know, from time to time, we have to expand the system because there is that growing demand, and we have the supply coming out of the Marcellus. So we're expanding facilities along Transco, facilities we put in service back with Atlantic Sunrise, moving additional volumes of gas to serve needs in the Northeast. We have some new projects, regional energy access, and other projects that are in the works. Again, looking at moving natural gas to areas Maryland, Pennsylvania, state New Jersey, states where there's growing demand, we have access to the resource, and we just have to connect the dots, so to speak, by expanding our infrastructure. So a lot of good things happening on that front. That entails a lot of engagement and activities with stakeholders, the ability to get out and share information about the project. So I look forward to a busy year ahead. But I think, you know, again, we'll continue to do all the other things we do within our communities as well.
Well, Mike, it's interesting because, again, people think, well, we have enough energy. We don't need any more. Everything's fine. But the reality is a lot of times you guys are not only building to meet today's demands, but you're building to meet future demands. The country's always evolving, both in population trends, where people are living, where people are moving, but also industrial trends, where business is building up, where manufacturers are building up. You know, there's a lot of hope, if you will, a lot of opportunity under the Biden administration to build back better. I believe that's his phrase that he's using, trying to bring back business and industry from around the world here. And that's what I look at when I think of like the work you guys are doing. And when I talk to people who say, well, is another pipeline really needed? Do we, you know, should we be building that infrastructure? And to me, the reality is, yes, we not only have to meet today's demands, but tomorrow's demands as well. What would you say to somebody that questions whether or not a new pipeline or a new piece of infrastructure is needed?
Well, we hear directly in communities. Oftentimes, we'll meet with communities about a piece of infrastructure we're looking to expand or build, and in that community may not have natural gas, but they want natural gas. They see what it brings. They see what it means to have cleaner burning natural gas. And, you know, we hope that we can connect those dots everywhere we go. If we can bring natural gas into areas, I mean, obviously we don't do that directly, but if there's ways to help facilitate bringing natural gas into areas, that demand is there. You know, I just see it anecdotally when I do meetings and speak with folks who want natural gas service, but also just generally we see trends will show natural gas demand is increasing. And, you know, that just means they see the value of that clean burning resource. Let's get that to markets. Let's expand our infrastructure, expand production, and get gas to markets where they need it.
Certainly good stuff going on there. Mike, I've been reading a little bit, too, about Williams's approach to ESG, if you will, its focus on environmental initiatives. Can you share a little bit about what's going on in that realm for the company?
Yes, absolutely. And ESG is environmental, social, and governance. It's a program that Williams is engaged in, which really sets us up as showing what we do on all of those fronts. And, you know, we're rated based on our ESG activities each year. And I think that generally just shows our commitment to the environment, our commitment to corporate governance, our commitment to the communities. And I'm happy, really happy to be part of a company that has taken that on. And the ability to show and be essentially reviewed based on our activities and how they relate to how we're running our business, the things we're doing for the environment, the things we're doing for communities. It's a great platform. So happy that Williams is involved in that.
No, and it's an initiative I think that's really driving a lot of companies, a lot of the Fortune 500 companies today, especially when how should I say this in the best way possible? You know, we are in the driver's seat when you think about it. The climate change is on everyone's minds, and we, I think, as an industry, sometimes get black eyes because we're an easy target. But this is also an opportunity to showcase the different things that we're doing across the board to make a difference. Because at the end of the day, we're in the business of capturing this, these emissions, these gases. We don't want them to leak out. We want to get them to the end user so that they can be used as a value-added product. And the other thing I like to do when I go out on site and I'm with some of our technicians, some of our engineers, is just to learn a little bit about the simple things we're doing. I know at Cabot, we've moved to like zero bleed valves. We've moved away from threaded pipe to welded pipe. I mean, just these simple things have reduced down the opportunities for things to leak out. We also use preventative maintenance programs where we use ultrasound and technologies like that to clean up. Williams, I'm sure, has a whole, you know, slew of technologies and innovations and practices that you guys are implementing every day to further that mission of being cleaner, greener for the environment, but still moving this needed commodity.
Well, absolutely. The technical aspects of our operations are quite complex, but at the same time, ever evolving to meet, you know, requirements at the state level, emission levels, things that we have to do in order to process gas and move it to markets with a minimal impact. The public, if they saw the amount that goes into that effort, I think they would be quite surprised and pleased. And in addition to safety, you know, safety is first and foremost in everything we do. We operate safely. It's in the context of all of our actions. And I think, again, the public would be quite pleased to see how much emphasis we put on safety.
Sounds good, Mike. But the opportunity with you guys, it's something I feel like we're going to have you back on a couple more times this year because you just have so much information to share. Williams is doing a lot of great work, and we really appreciate having you on the program. Mike, before we let you go, where can people learn more about your efforts, your projects, your initiatives, even your social media so they can stay in touch?
Sure, absolutely. We have our corporate website, williams.com, and from there, you can learn about our projects. There's a section for expansion projects and see all the latest activities we have there. And also online, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, so you can easily find us at Williams Updates and learn what we're doing in communities, see the actions that we're taking to support bio companies and other nonprofits and areas, the things that we're doing on projects, the employee involvement and engagement. all the fun stuff that we're doing just generally to be part of the fabric of our community. You can see that on our social media. I appreciate the opportunity this morning, so thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Mike Atchey, Manager of Public Outreach for Williams and a longtime contributor to the Shale Gas News. Happy to have you on. We're going to take a quick break now. Stay tuned for more after a word from our sponsors.
Do you know the power of America's energy security? Security that starts right here? The Marcellus Shale alone contains enough energy to meet our demand for the next 100 years. And that's just by today's estimates. If Pennsylvania were a country, it would be the fifth largest producer of natural gas in the world. All thanks to the incredible natural gas production right here in northeastern Pennsylvania. Cabot Oil and Gas Corporation. Producing abundant opportunities.
Lindy Corporation is a pipeline and infrastructure company, and Lindy is proud to work in the Marcellus region, towns and cities, and beyond. Apply at lindyco.com. And remember, if Lindy wasn't hiring yesterday, chances are we will be hiring tomorrow.
Are you a truck driver looking to earn $1,000 to $2,100 a week with full benefits? Well, Eastern Freight Systems and Tunkhannock are seeking local, regional, and OTR drivers. They even have an oil field division with lanes based in both Tunkhannock and Pittston, PA. They're looking for motivated drivers who are looking to earn good money to join their team. A clean MVR with professional driver training or experience are required. Come join the growing team at Eastern Freight Systems by calling 570-836-8050.
If you're in construction or the gas industry, your team's getting it done 24 hours a day, and so is BX3. When you're working, so is BX3. They're your prime connection to parts, tools, and equipment rentals. If they don't have it at their Montrose or Tunkhannock locations, they'll find it for you. Somehow, some way. Trust me, they know people who know people. They're the relentless problem solvers. Call BX3 and Tunkhannock, 836-3000. Montrose, it's 278-7368. Again, Tunkhannock, 836-3000. Montrose, 278-7368.
We've now been partnering for a couple of years with Cabot to provide what we call Fill a Glass with Hope. In this past year, we served hundreds of kids, and we provided nutritious milk in a quantity of 6,462 half gallons. We're grateful, as are the hundreds of children that are receiving the benefits of the program as a result of what Cabot and its partners do.
For more information, go to wellsaidcabot.com.
Welcome back to the Shale Gas News with Bill DeRozier, Rusty Fender, and Matt Henderson, and I'm DC Taylor. There was a live stream event a few weeks ago. It was called State of American Energy 2021, presented by API, the American Petroleum Institute, and API President and CEO Mike Summers gave a talk, and this is part two of his presentation.
The political environment remains polarized. But here's my reading of the 2020 election. In both parties, there is substantial support for American energy production, and the balance of power has shifted to the moderate middle. For most voters, it's just a matter of common sense that we should rely on our own energy and invest in our own resources, not send US dollars to other countries for energy that we need. A growing economy and millions of jobs hang in the balance. Here's another thought about deeply felt public concerns at the start of 2021. We've all just seen what a global health crisis looks like. We've seen how terribly wrong things can go. We've also seen the best science and technology in the amazing speed of the developing of a vaccine. We should take lessons from how we meet the challenges of our time. So it's fair to ask, on the critical issue of climate change, what is being done right now? I don't mean what is being said or promised or declared as a collective goal at a signing ceremony, but rather what is actually being done. In our industry, unlike others, we can answer that question in direct and tangible terms. No nation anywhere has reduced annual greenhouse gas emissions more than we have in the United States. Over the last decade, we achieved the largest ever decline in energy-related greenhouse gas emissions. That almost didn't happen. If policymakers had restricted access to developing oil and natural gas in hopes of addressing climate change, emissions would have been greater than what actually happened. Take the last time Congress considered climate legislation, the 2010 Waxman-Markey bill. If enacted, Congress projected CO2 emissions in 2019 would decline as much as 10% below 2007 levels. But in fact, because of industry innovations and improvements like hydraulic fracturing and horizontal drilling that enabled companies to reach more natural gas, U.S. CO2 emissions in 2019 declined at a greater rate, nearly 15% below 2007 levels. We haven't been waiting on guidance or on orders from others. We have done this all on our own initiative, with our own money, with our own engineering and technology. We've exceeded the goals that even the most heavy-handed regulators wanted to impose on us. For example, industry actions have helped reduce methane emission rates by nearly 70% in the largest producing U.S. regions. When demand and production go up significantly, while emissions go significantly down, we're clearly on the right track. This is the biggest story on the biggest environmental challenge of our time. We look forward to working with the Biden administration on policies to continue this downward trend on methane emissions. We recently took action with a flaring program to further reduce flaring in our operations. More than 80 natural gas and oil companies, representing over 70% of total onshore U.S. production, are taking action to further cut methane emissions through the environmental partnership. Our ingenuity has enabled a massive shift from coal to natural gas and power generation. And because we produce enough at home, we have a surplus of natural gas to export overseas, allowing us to help other nations make that switch for themselves and reduce their emissions profile. Late last year, U.S. LNG exports reached a record high, and they are forecast to increase 30% this year. With this breakthrough, American energy is enabling the transition to cleaner power generation and accelerating environmental progress across the world. U.S. liquefied natural gas exports are a far cleaner option for electricity generation in places like China, India, and other nations in Southeast Asia. Environmental goals are easy to declare. The more far-reaching, the better. But nothing actually accomplished by announcements and agreements. Someone still has to invest the capital and do the innovating and engineering. That's what our industry has been doing. That's why the United States today is the world leader in reducing greenhouse gas emissions. What would have happened had America gone the other way with a command and control model? We would have locked in old methods, missed out on a generation of new technologies, and come nowhere near the incredible environmental gains that we've seen. Mandates get us nowhere. Look at California. You've got millions of people, some of whom are paying the highest electricity rates, in part because the state has been shutting down natural gas power plants. The logic of that is a mystery. And Californians have a chance to think about it every time there's a heat wave and the system requires a blackout. The Golden State is now pledging to eliminate the internal combustion engine by 2035. This would remove the most affordable and reliable transportation option for most residents. Should this extreme proposal play out, it would further increase electricity demand, adding to the state's ongoing power crisis. And don't forget that the electric vehicle tax credit has overwhelmingly benefited the wealthiest of households, with middle-class Americans footing the bill. Forced electrification limits options for consumers. Americans want popular vehicles fueled by reliable gasoline, a gallon of which costs $2 less than it did a dozen years ago. Electrification mandates also ignore clear environmental progress. Today's new cars, trucks, SUVs, and buses run about 99% cleaner than models produced in 1970, reducing pollution, even as vehicle miles traveled per year have nearly tripled. Bottom line, California is trying to force an energy change that it simply isn't ready for, and technology doesn't exist to support, putting its residents at risk. So no one should be surprised when reality keeps interfering. The constant impulse to mandate and make headlines never quits, and it never ends well. Whether our critics admit it or not, our industry is a driver of technology progress against greenhouse gas emissions, among other environmental challenges. It is our technology that is making all the difference, and we're pointing the way forward.
And that again, Mike Summers, President and CEO of the American Petroleum Institute. This is the Shale Gas News. Please stay here for more.
Safe are natural gas pipelines.
Pipelines are the safest, most reliable way to move gas. In fact, you really can't move natural gas any other way. You can't get to a home, you can't get to a manufacturing facility without the use of a pipeline.
The amount of savings a customer is seeing is on average $2,000 a year. Think about that, $2,000 in savings.
Cabot Oil and Gas Corporation, producing abundant opportunities.
Environmental protection affects you no matter what industry you serve. Oso Wash provides the only certified clean solution you should trust for your vehicles. Oso is the only certified oil and gas industry clean tank washing facility in Northeast PA that's available 7 days a week. If it can get dirty, Oso can clean it. They're about 6 miles north of Tunkhannock off of Route 29 on Aldovin Road. 570-996-WASH and find them on Facebook. They are Oso Wash.
Are you looking for work in the gas industry? Linde Corporation is always looking for good people. Apply at lindeco.com. Linde installs water lines, sewer lines, and gas lines. We're busy in the Marcellus region. Apply for your next career at lindeco.com.
Why choose Lackawanna College? Lackawanna College can give you the start you need. Spend 2 years earning your degree and go right to work earning a great salary. With 29 degree programs in competitive industries like culinary and hospitality management, petroleum and natural gas, and sonography, Lackawanna College can help you find your future. Visit lackawanna.edu for more information on how to apply or contact the admissions office at 570-961-7814. Why choose Lackawanna College? If you're looking to get ahead in your career or start a new one, Lackawanna College's Continuing Education Department offers a wide variety of certificate programs that are highly affordable and can help you get back to work quickly. Specialized training for workforce development and allied health careers is available, as well as the Lackawanna College Police Academy and the EMS Academy. Call 570-961-7813 for more information or visit lackawanna.edu. Find your future at Lackawanna College.
Cabot has been, you know, a fantastic corporate partner because they caught the vision. We have a goal to end hunger in Northeast Pennsylvania by 2025. Cabot's contribution is helping make that happen.
I live in Springville. I'm a landowner in Auburn Township. They've treated me with respect, my property with respect. They do an excellent job. Everything has been neat. There's never been anything out of place. Anything that they said they were going to do, they did. They came to you and told you what they were going to do. They gave you a timetable. They followed that timetable. Do not be afraid to invest with these people.
Industries like Cabot not only helped and lent their support to the Dietrich Theater, but they reached out and asked how they could help in other ways. Cabot has shown us that they want to invest in our community, that they're here to stay, and they want to support us for the long run.
For more information, go to wellsaidcabot.com.
This is the Shale Gas News with Bill DeRozier, Rusty Fender, Matt Henderson, and I'm DC Taylor. Coming up in a couple minutes, we'll have the job segment for you. You can find some careers in the energy industries, the gas industry. But first, it's the top five. Each weekday, Marcellus Drilling News locates and shares news from the Marcellus and Utica Shale. You can find them at marcellusdrilling.com. Over 50,000 people read MDN each month. So we use it as a barometer to tell us which stories people find the most interesting. MDN editor Jim Willis compiles a list of the top stories each week. So this week we have for you another summary of the top five most read stories on MDN over the past 7 days. And coming out at number five last week, American energy independence under attack on all fronts. Walter Wayne Christian is a financial planner from Center, Texas, a Republican member of the Texas Railroad Commission chairman. Having won the position in the November 8th, 2016 general election, he's an energy expert who thinks about and deals with energy of all sorts every single day. Christian recently penned an article exposing the attack now happening on American energy independence by the far left. He exposes the Paris Climate Accord for the fraud it is and calls out woke investors who are pressuring other investors to divest from oil and gas companies. This is one article you definitely need to read, again, at marcellusdrilling.com. Rusty?
DC, number four, with the polar vortex coming, Boston and New York City may need Russian LNG. Now, the last time a major polar vortex visited the northeastern United States was in January of 2018, and it created such a huge demand for natural gas that Boston had to import Russian LNG to meet demand. Now, last January, we had a cold snap, as you remember, the mildest winter on record last year, but not a full-blown polar vortex, which almost caused New York City to import Russian LNG. Guess what's on the way to the Northeast in another 2 weeks' time? That's right, another polar vortex. Once again, rumors are swirling that Boston and New York may need to import Russian gas in order to meet high demand. What's that? Why do liberal northeastern cities seek out and import Russian gas and not just use the abundant, clean, cheap natural gas produced in the Pennsylvania Marcellus? Because both New York and Massachusetts have blocked multiple pipeline projects that would flow Marcellus gas to their regions. And because we do not yet have rail transportation of LNG. And because the silly Jones Act prevents LNG tankers from loading up at our LNG export facilities and unloading again at an American port. Don't get us started. Again, here we go again.
All right. The third most popular story over the past week. What to expect from Biden/Senate Democrats concerning energy policy. Well, the apocalypse has happened. We now have a single party Democrat rule in Washington, D.C., and that spells trouble ahead for shale energy for both oil and gas. We'll keep our opinions to ourselves on the politics. What's done is done. Instead, we'll let the analysts from S&P tell you what you can expect with new appointments at key federal agencies and how energy policy under the Biden administration, with a big assist from a Democrat-controlled Senate, will likely play out in the coming years. Our prediction? You can expect big changes at FERC and the EPA, stiff new regulations from Congress, and carbon taxes everywhere you look, aimed at choking off the use of fossil fuels. Rusty.
Number 2D, Clinton County, Pennsylvania pet chem plant update, natural gas plus carbon capture. Now, in February of last year, MDN brought you news about a new $500 million petrochemical plant that will convert Marcellus shale gas into feedstock chemicals to be used in agriculture, manufacturing, medicine, and transportation, coming to Clinton County, Pennsylvania. Now, the project continues to make progress and is undergoing a name change. The Keystate Natural Gas Synthesis and Carbon Capture Plant, as it was known, will generate between 600 and 800 jobs during construction, and the petrochemical plant itself will support 150 to 200 permanent jobs. It will cost somewhere around $400 to $500 million to build and generate $260 million in total annual economic output once it's built, according to a report by the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association. KeyState Natural Gas Synthesis and Carbon Capture is getting a new shorter name, KeyState Zero, with a tagline, Natural Gas Synthesis and Carbon Storage, according to Perry Babb, the project's chairman and acting CEO. Babb was recently interviewed by Happy Valley Industries in State College, Pennsylvania, and provided an update on the project. KeyState Zero will, according to Babb, use on-site Marcellus shale as a feedstock to produce a range of chemicals. The project will also use on-site carbon dioxide capture and geological storage, a first in Pennsylvania to combine everything under one roof. It's pretty interesting.
Wow. Okay. Well, yeah, number one story, the most popular story on MDN over the past week, Extreme Makeover EQT Edition. Oil and Gas Investor magazine recently sat down with Toby Rice, CEO of EQT Corporation, to discuss his and his brother Derek's successful takeover of the company in July 2019. The lengthy article begins this way. A year and a half after leading a mutiny of shareholders to take control of the nation's largest natural gas producer, CEO Toby Rice is proud to reveal the completed remodel, and it's even better than promised. In the Q&A article, Rice talks about his combo development strategy that stopped the company from drilling onesies and twosies on well pads and instead drills multiple wells on pads close to each other. He also bragged, justifiably so, that the company not only hit its goal of $730 per foot drilling costs in the second quarter 2020, those costs have now dropped to $660 a foot. Rice streamlined the company from 48 departments down to 15 departments and has converted the company to a digital work environment. He was asked about the rumors he wants to buy out and merge in CNX Resources. He avoided the question. And there you go. Those are the top five stories thousands of people read this past week on MDN. If you'd like to keep track of the headlines each day, it's easy. Just sign up for MDN's free daily email at marcellusdrilling.com/email. Now it's time for the jobs segment. Your careers in the gas and energy industries presented by Lackawanna College, the School of Petroleum and Natural Gas. Lackawanna College, where you go to find your future. Rusty.
Thank you, DC Taylor. And in Pennsylvania, we'll start out with Marathon Petroleum Corporation looking for an operations supervisor based in Washington, Pennsylvania. KeyLogic Systems, a subsurface energy analyst out of Pittsburgh. ROC Service Company, looking for an experienced roustabout and general laborers out of 8-4. Shale Pro Energy Services, a well tender out of Williamsport. SGS, looking for a measurement technician out of Mansfield. Vineyard Oil and Gas Company, a senior accountant based in Northeast Pennsylvania. Cleveland Brothers Equipment Company, looking for an industrial engine field mechanic out of Wilkes-Barre. Talon Energy, an instrument and control technician. It's out of Berwick. Select Energy Services, a well testing operator headquartered in Canonsburg. In Ohio, Central Ohio Technical College looking for an engineering technology for the oil and gas instructional program. It's out of Newark, Ohio. Cimarron Energy, a field technician level one based in Belpre. Ohio Oil and Gas Energy Education Program, in need of an executive director for the electrical division. It's out of Granville. Diversified Gas and Oil, an opening for a land analyst out of Canton. Encino Energy, LLC, a construction technician and a CAD designer. That's computer-assisted drawing for the entire state of Ohio. American Petroleum, a state communications lead out of Columbus. Purple Land Management, a title abstractor and a landman. It's out of Canton. Ascent Resources, an EHS specialist for their drilling unit. It's out of Cambridge. And Apex has an opening for a well field technician out of Amsterdam. In West Virginia, TC Energy, a monitoring center analyst. It's based in Charleston. U.S. Well Services, an equipment operator out of Jane Lou. Walter Resource Partners, a hydraulic fracturing operator out of Weirton. Williams Companies, an operations technician opening headquartered in Cameron. Mountain V Oil and Gas, a well tender out of Buchanan. And General Electric, a field specialist for their completions division. It's based in Clarksburg. Now, in New York State, Mirabito Energy Products, a natural gas and electric account executive out of the state capital of Albany, energy transfer of pipeline trainee for the entire state of New York. ULC Robotics, a natural gas mechanical technician for the field operations out of Hopog, Long Island. ING, looking for an analyst for their project finance and midstream oil and gas divisions, again for the entire state of New York. Kleinfelder, an opening for an environmental inspector out of Albany. And Repsol, looking for an automation specialist headquartered in Horseheads, the Binghamton area. And those, as DC mentioned, the job segment this week, of course, sponsored by Lackawanna College. Lackawanna College, the School of Petroleum and Natural Gas, where you go to find your future. And we thank you so much for listening here on our network of stations, Gem 104, and always online at talkwilliamsport.com. And we'll see you back here next week, same time, same radio stations, for the shale gas news. For Bill DeRosa, Matt Henderson, DC Taylor, I'm Rusty Fender. Thank you for listening to the Shale Gas News.